Grace and peace be with you from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Some of my fondest memories growing up were always at night. Specifically, when I say that, I mean the night on the summer, right? When it's like really hot all day long, and then at night it gets down to like 80 degrees, and you get a nice gentle breeze. Well, at least where I was growing up in Missouri, we'd get a gentle breeze like that. Now, we didn't have what they'd call, what, light pollution, right? We had a lamppost up the street, but it really didn't bother us where we were. I would tell you it was really super quiet out there in the country, but it really wasn't. We had frogs and crickets and everything else you could think of. Actually, to some degree, it was quite noisy, but it was a kind of a pleasant sound. Some of my fondest memories are enjoying those evenings in the summer as I would just sit there, be outside talking with friends or what have you. I bring this up because whenever I envision Nicodemus coming to Jesus at night, this is kind of the image that fills my mind. I know it's not accurate. I realize that Beaufort, Missouri and Israel are two completely different places. But the text just tells us, not our text, but actually the text that comes before our text, simply tells us that Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. And so my brain instantly goes to those beautiful summer evenings with the gentle breeze and the crickets. And so that's kind of what way I picture it. But the truth be told is our text for today needs context. Context is what helps us to understand what's really going on. Without context, the text today becomes very confusing, or at least to some degree it can become very confusing. And so Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. We're not really sure why he comes. To some degree, some people have suggested it's because he was afraid. Makes sense. The Pharisees didn't exactly love Jesus, and so to come to him to talk might be considered as, well, somewhat scandalous. On the other hand, there's some people that say, hey, the Pharisees were still trying to figure out Jesus, but notice that in chapters 1 and 2, Jesus is out there doing all kinds of stuff. Maybe Jesus is just so busy that this is the only chance that Nicodemus has to really go to Jesus to talk. But either way, Nicodemus comes to Jesus, and they start having a back and forth. They start having a conversation, and they start talking about being born again. Now, as Christians, that's common language. We're used to that. We talk about being born again. We hear about being born again. Other churches talk about being born again. We're used to the language. But have you ever stopped and really looked and thought about how odd that is? Somebody who's outside of the church, who's never run into Christianity before, and you start talking to them about being born again, they're going to look at you funny. And one of the beauties is if you actually read the preceding text, Nicodemus starts asking a lot of questions about what's going on here. What do you mean being born again? How does that even work? But Jesus begins to lay out the foundation of what he's talking about. He's not just throwing words together. He's not just talking about being born again because that's fun language. He's ultimately talking about salvation. And he talks about salvation by talking about Moses lifting up the fiery serpent in the wilderness, going all the way back to our text in Numbers today. Again, more context. Jesus is talking about what Moses had to do. Fiery serpents came and bit people, and people died. And so they held up this bronze fiery serpent. God commanded Moses to do so, that people that would look at it would be healed. But I want you to notice something about that text. The fiery serpents don't go away. They're still there. The bronze statue that Moses hoists up is so that people, once they are bit, would look at it and they would be healed. Not that there's no more fiery serpents. Those are still there. And Jesus uses this as the example for what he's about to do. That Jesus himself is on his way to the cross. That he is heading to Jerusalem to suffer at the hands of the Pharisees, the Sanhedrin, the council, and to die. So that those that set their eyes upon him might be saved. Not that they're not going to have any more suffering ever again. Not that sin is going to be completely dissipated and nobody will ever sin again. But that they will be saved. That when they sin, when they set their eyes upon Jesus, they will find forgiveness of their sins. Not that they'll never sin again, but they will have forgiveness through what Christ has done for them upon the cross. That's the whole John 3:16, that our Heavenly Father loved us so much that He sent Jesus for this very purpose. That He sent Jesus for you and for me. Now I know how we are. I know as a human being how I am. And we're probably immediately thinking, wow, that's great. All I got to do is this. This is what I got to do. And we kind of develop like a step-by-step plan, don't we? Like, I got to do this, and then I got to do this, and then I got to do this. And we immediately begin to think that these are all the things that I have to do. I just have to set my eyes on Jesus. That's what I got to do. But you see, this is where the whole born-again thing comes from. Jesus is talking about being born in the Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that moves us. This is what Paul is talking about in Ephesians. This is what this is all about. It is the work of the Holy Spirit to move us, to focus our eyes upon Jesus. Even that is a work of God. It is God who draws us closer to Himself. It is the Spirit that sets our eyes upon Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's grace. We couldn't do it if we wanted to. But through Christ Jesus our Lord, through the work of the Holy Spirit, we are able. Not by what we do, but what God does in us and through us. And in that, we set our eyes upon Christ. It's in the work of the Spirit. It is in our baptism that we have been baptized into Christ Jesus, that the Holy Spirit works in us to draw us ever closer to Himself. And once we set our eyes on Jesus, we have forgiveness of sins. But ultimately, it is our salvation. It is what saves us. Yes, we set our eyes upon Jesus because it is in Jesus that we have been reconciled with God, our Heavenly Father. It is in Jesus that we have forgiveness of our sins. It is in Jesus that we are saved. That we are saved. In Jesus' name, amen. And now may the peace of Christ, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, let us now stand as we confess our common faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.